il corner dentro, il colpo di testa, Zapata! Zapata! Dovrebbe essere gol! È gol! Zapata! Lo dice la Goal Line Technology! Al 97esimo il Milan trova il 2-2, impazzisce la curva sud!
Hello everyone and welcome to yet another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. This is episode number 15. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, and I'm joined once again by Anthony Torgrud.
What's up, everyone? Glad to be here. I think that's the second week in a row I've butchered saying everyone, but here we are. Let's do it.
It's a good start, mate. It's a good start. So yeah, we're back into the weekly routine, which I like. You know, it's nice to just sort of cover one game at a time because it means we can go into a bit more depth and stuff like that. But first of all, how's your week been, mate? Did you enjoy the weekend?
Yeah, you know, I had a really relaxing weekend. I didn't even leave my house on Saturday. I stayed in my pajamas until I went to bed. Nice. It was the laziest day I've had all year, definitely. And then Sunday was pretty chill, too. Yeah, we had the game. Obviously, we'll talk about that. That was great. And then, what else did I do? The Royal Rumble. I don't know if there's a lot of WWE fans out there, but... And to be honest, I'm not one of them either, but I have a big group of friends that are really big into it. And so I hosted it at my house and had some people over, had a good time with that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a good weekend. How about you?
Yeah, mate. Pretty steady on Saturday. I went to watch Huddersfield in the FA Cup. Drew 1-1 with a team in the division below, so like equivalent of Serie B, which was a bit disappointing. But I mean, like, we played a reserve team and... the draw for the fifth round, which is the last 16 teams, we got Man United at home, so there's an incentive to win the replay. It doesn't go to extra time and penalties. We have a replay first in the FA Cup, and then if the replay is still, you know, tied after 90 minutes, then we go to extra time and penalties then.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I wasn't sure if they went to extra time and then penalties or just straight to penalties.
Yes.
I think the replay is just kind of silly in general. They should just end the game, honestly. Like, just take it to penalties right then and there. But
well, it's a bit of a nightmare, especially around this time of year when you've got, like, so many games around Christmas and the squad's pretty thin, pretty bare as it is. And then you're cramming more midweek games in there and... It's tough, you know. It's tough in any league like Milan playing, you know, six games in however many days. But this one in particular is tough for Huddersfield because, you know, we're trying to stay in the Premier League. It's our first season there, and now it's like, you know, the more games that you add to that, the more difficult it becomes, I guess. But yeah, it was okay. Enjoyed that, and then Sunday, like you mentioned, the game was pretty much the centre point of the day, so it's been a pretty good weekend, mate, yeah. So let's dive into the game, shall we? I think we were all fairly negative, weren't we, about the game going into it, but they've proved us wrong. We've won. We won at home against Lazio 2-1. Went 1-0 up fairly early on through Cotrone. Bit of a controversial goal, but we'll come on to that. It's been in the headlines, hasn't it, since? And then they replied through Marusic, shot that sort of got under Donnarumma. And then we scored just a few minutes before halftime, Bonaventura with a nice header. And then we hung on, despite, you know, a bit of late pressure from Lazio there. We hung on, huge 3 points, considering the results that have happened over the weekend. AJ, our best performance of the season, I want to say?
I'd say that first half was easily the best half we've played all season. Mm-hmm. Second half was real bad. I mean, well, not even terrible, just we let off the last 15, 20 minutes or so, and maybe because I'm just used to it, but I was really expecting an equalizer. I was getting pretty nervous towards the end there, but yeah, overall, I think it was a phenomenal game, and we did great. Like you had said, we all were pretty negative. You asked me, and without any hesitation, I said, nope, we're getting no points. We're exiting the cup. Still think we will, but yeah. I thought we were going to get smashed this game, and it paid not having Immobile up there, that's for sure. I bet if he was in, he could have sank in a couple. I mean, Milinkovic was hitting the post from deep multiple times, and had we given him the space to get up front a little bit, I mean, had he had that star striker up front, I bet it would have been a different scoreline. So we'll see who's rested for Wednesday's game. We'll see. It is another home game. You know, could this be the one that Lazio finally beat us at home in for the first time since, what, I think 78 or...
Yeah, it's 78 crazy or 87. Record, yeah.
Ridiculous, yeah. They very well could beat us at home on Wednesday, but I don't know. I think with the injuries that they have and the form that we're in, it's possible that we could pull it out and then hopefully get a clean sheet, you know, maybe a two-goal win or something and try and hold him on the away leg and advance to the final. But it's definitely a tough call. I mean, Lazio's not an easy team to play four times in one season, that's for sure. But we did fantastic, and yeah, couldn't be prouder of the boys, especially Crotone. Love the fact that he scored with a handball, channeling his inner Maradona. No, a lot of people are upset about it, and, you know, rightfully so, but at the same time, we admitted it. Even Gattuso said, yeah, it should have been disallowed. Right away, he said that, and Crotone said, you know, I thought it was my hand, I apologize. I saw the video. It definitely was very clearly his hand when I watched it live.
Yeah.
I thought it was his head. I was like, wow, that was awesome. Did it. And I celebrated a little bit right in the chair that I'm in right now. But, yeah, I mean, very, very obviously a handball. But the thing is, VAR is not going to get called into play unless one of two things happens or both. The opposing team says they protest, or the referee says he saw it. You know, someone has to see it and say something. No one, the goalkeeper, all of Milan, the referees, all of Lazio, no one protested, not even the fans. So,
no.
I mean, to say VAR is failing is incorrect. The way it was used, or in this case wasn't used, exactly how it should be by the books. However, I agree. I mean, obviously at the end of the day, it shouldn't have been an allowed goal, but it is what it is. They can't suspend the kid for it. They didn't suspend Buffon when with Muntari's goal, and they didn't suspend... who else? There's been a bunch of them
yeah.
scored with hands that they don't get suspension. So I think it's just a witch hunt, as usually is with us. And yeah, we did great. So I'm done ranting.
Yeah, it certainly dominated the headlines since the game. A couple of the Rome-based papers naturally have called for him to be suspended because of it, which is an absolute disgrace because it's not a dishonest play. You know, if he genuinely thinks that it's hit his head or his shoulder or whatever he thinks, then, you know, you've got to take his word for it. And otherwise you're questioning his integrity. You know, he's a young player. He's a striker and he wants every goal that he can get. And honestly, I just think that they've kind of made a mountain out of a molehill about the whole situation. But I mean, going back to what you said about VAR, for me, it did fail in this because every goal gets checked naturally, especially for a free kick like that where Cotrone is pretty much unmarked about 6 yards out. They were checking the goal for offside, which is, you know, you would always do just to make sure that it wasn't offside. And they'll have seen it from that side angle. They'll have surely spotted the way that it hit him and went in. And then, you know, is that when you zoom in and you start looking for the handball? I don't believe that someone who's sat in a room and has all the camera angles available and is already checking for an offside, I don't believe that they can honestly miss. It's not a blatant handball, but it's easy enough to see that he is, you know, he scored it with his arm. So I don't know. I think it's a bit of a dodgy one. When, you know, it's a weekend where VAR here in England has dominated the news as well because it's been brought in for the FA Cup, funnily enough, and Liverpool lost 4-3 at home to West Brom, and it was used like two or three times, I think. Some pretty debatable decisions were made using it, and honestly, like everyone who was complaining about it, like my friends, etc., I was just saying, well, they've implemented it in Italy. When they inevitably ask, well, does it work there? I honestly don't know what to answer because it works in some instances, but it's certainly not a perfect system. And it needs work. They need to keep working at it. But yeah, I just think they kind of missed something there with that goal. I'm not complaining because in the end it got us the 3 points. And it wasn't the winning goal, but obviously it was one of the two goals that won us the game. So, yeah, and I'm delighted for Cotrone to get another goal. You can see what it really means to him. You know, every time he scores, he pats the badge or he kisses the badge, and you realise that we've got a kid out there who's living his dream. And, yeah, it fills me with a lot of pride. Another kid who's living the dream, you know, boyhood Milanista, Davide Calabria. How good was he on Sunday?
Oh, man of the match, without a doubt. Mm. I mean, he really, when we signed Andrea Conti for our right back position, we thought he was the way, and then he gets injured, and we really were kind of scrambled. We didn't know who was going to replace him, and we tried Calabria earlier in the season. Didn't do good.
No.
But these last, I think he started maybe like 5 or 6 of the last 7 or something ridiculous like that. Mm-hmm. And he's been in top form, and yesterday, he really showed it. I mean, that was the performance of his career, without a doubt. And then when he was shifted to the left, he was great there as well. I mean, he kept balls in, he challenged properly, you know, he made some clearances, passing accurately. He was a full-fledged fullback. I mean, he could play on each flank, and he did it incredibly. It's interesting when our backup left back is in, and he's still doing so poorly that we say, you know what, let's sub on an over-the-hill Abate right back, and we'll just shift the youngster at right back to left back, and that'll work. And it did. It was incredible. So definitely props to him. Very proud of him. His crossing was just on point.
Mm.
I have no bad things to say about him. He was great.
Yeah, it was definitely his best performance in a Milan shirt for me. He's had his criticism as Calabria, understandably so as well, because I think people naturally have become used to us having some of the best fullbacks in the world over the years. And since then, we've obviously, in the banter era, as they call it, we've really struggled for fullbacks. So I think that naturally people kind of, people hold a standard, but then also expect the worst. And, you know, it's a difficult position to fill. And I think there are still aspects of his game that obviously need work. There's no fullback in world football that for me is perfect, but this was nearly a perfect performance. Just looking here at Ahmed's player ratings from the game, which you can find on our website, SemperMilan.com, under the match section. He gave Calabria man of the match and put, quite possibly the finest game the young Italian fullback has played in a Milan shirt. He marshalled the right side, both defensively and offensively, providing the assist for the second goal. He then went one better, putting in a phenomenal defensive outing on the left flank after switching sides to accommodate the substitute Abate. He had 7 tackles on the day, 5 more than anyone else on the pitch. He basically turned into Maldini for 90 minutes, which is incredible. I don't think any of us saw it coming, but for me now, I'm going to give props to Gattuso for that, because obviously he's worked with a lot of the young players, and he worked with the Primavera before he got the call up to the senior role. I think he's instilling confidence in some of these younger players, and I think we're starting to see it now. You know, we'll use that as a nice little segue into, I posted a tweet from Kilpin Chronicle, which, if you know, that's my Milan account, you go follow that if you want some sweary rants about the club. I posted a tweet saying, is Gattuso our Conte? You disagreed with it at the time, and I understand why. I'm starting to slowly be won over by Gattuso. What about you?
I don't think it's even a slow win over.
No.
I think I am just so excited to see us in any good form that I will hop on whatever bandwagon drives past me right now. Right now, I'm in the passenger seat of Gattuso. I'm running shotgun, and we're taking this bad boy to the top. No, I think he's done a fantastic job. I still don't think he's our Conti. I don't think he's going to be here for seasons to come. But if we finish in Champions League, he'll definitely be here next season. You have to imagine. There's no way around it. But I would love to see Conti come regardless and keep Gattuso as like an assistant coach or someone he could mentor and grow, because he's got everything that a good coach needs. He just doesn't have the experience, and we're kind of giving him a baptism by fire, which is either the right way to do it or the wrong way. Mm. With a guy like Gattuso, with the way he behaves, it very well could be the right way to do it. But the tried and true way is always to not do that, you know? So
yeah.
I would like to see a more experienced, proper, great manager. Not even proper, because Gattuso is a proper manager, but one of the great Italian managers take over and kind of groom him on up. You know, maybe even if it's just for a season and then Conte takes over the national team or something and then Gattuso's our man. That, I think that is a fair trade-off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he's great. He's done well. I was really nervous in the beginning. I mean, he inherited a team that was just so lost of an identity that there really was no way for instant success, and we saw that. We lost right off the bat, I believe, or we had like three straight draws or something. We didn't have a win with Gattuso, I think, in five games when he started. And we all were saying, season's over, what have we done? But then he turned it around, and one of the big things that he pointed out early on in his reign here was the fitness levels are not there.
Mm.
Well, they're definitely there now. He has done something with that and worked him into shape. I don't know if he's changed the diet or just the cardiovascular exercise or muscle training, strength training. I don't know what he's done, but they are in shape, and they're playing like it. They're running for the full 90. They're determined. They're driven. They have that motivation. It's like he's instilled his own persona into each player, and they want to fight for the team. We're seeing a Milan side that we haven't seen in a while, one that wants to be there, one that feels like they deserve the win, and one that recognizes what team they're playing for.
Mm.
It's something that we haven't seen in quite some time, and it's remarkable that he's been able to turn it around in however many weeks this has been, 10, 15, something in that time frame.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm very pleased with him. I didn't think he had it, but he totally has. The only downside to this is I think Romagnoli is kind of hindered by joining us when he did, because he's only been focusing on bailing us out of crazy situations. And I don't know if that's hurt him in the long run or not, if he's just going to be this great, you know, on the back foot, making some ridiculous save kind of defender, or if he's going to be able to stop attackers before they get to that point.
Mm.
I don't know, but I think he's had to focus most of his career so far on the on saving us as opposed to actually building himself up. The good news is Bonucci is now exhibiting that world-class form that we bought him for, and he even said a lot of stuff about Gattuso and sharing the sentiments that I just said here about, you know, getting that persona within them, and I think that's helping Alessio a lot. In that game against Lazio on Sunday, Bonucci not only looked world-class, but Alessio looked better than him. I think he looked better than Bonucci. Yeah. And, I mean, that's a huge compliment to the kid. I am very pleased with that whole Sunday. Honestly, there was nothing bad about it. I even told a buddy, I drove around town, just windows down, listening to some Post Malone. Just rocking out. I was just elated. It was a great day.
Yeah, going back to the initial point about Gattuso, I completely agree with everything that you've said. I think the one thing that we were assured about when Gattuso was given the role, for whatever period of time it may be, is that he's going to make sure that every single player in that first team squad knows the badge that they're playing for, knows the magnitude of the club, and he's going to tell them what it means to the fans, and he's going to make sure that they play for the Milan crest, plain and simple. And I love that, and you can see that by the effort levels that the players are putting in now. I mean, certain players look completely transformed under him, Bonucci being one of them. But I'll come on to him. Bilia, I thought Bilia had a solid game on Sunday. Also, Calabria, who we've mentioned. I think Romagnoli's picked up a bit in recent weeks. Obviously, he's had his injury problems. So it's nice to just see him play week in, week out. And, you know, if we're in the ascendancy in games, that's only going to help his development, because I see him long-term as a ball-playing defender rather than a defensive defenseman or a stopper or a sweeper or anything like that. I think hopefully in the future he will be the guy who we can play out from. Obviously, Bonucci is essentially the playmaker of the two at the moment, but he's learning from one of the best, is Romagnoli, so he's got to enjoy that. But yeah, so many players have improved, and you know, I'll touch on a couple in a minute, but there's a couple of things about Gattuso's appointment that I still think sort of applies today. Number one is that, as you mentioned, he's been thrust into a situation where, you know, only a character like Gattuso would succeed, if anyone would succeed at all. It's a situation where all the players were low on confidence. It was sort of poisonous relations with the supporters, who were expecting so much this season, and it hadn't been delivered yet. So in walks this inexperienced coach, at first team level anyway. He's basically, you know, put the team on his back, and so far it's going pretty well. The second thing about his appointment is the longevity of it, and I still don't know where we really stand with that. The management have said previously that he's not the Italian word is traghettore, but it's like, it means like a ferryman. So he's not just a guy that's going to see us to the end of the season and then we hire someone else. They see him as our long-term option. Now, that might have been baffling, you know, say 8 weeks ago, when he'd just taken charge. But now perhaps it doesn't seem as stupid an idea as what it did, because we're starting to see the way that he wants to play. We're starting to see his identity rub off on the team. Most importantly, his passion as well. And I think that, you know, potentially he is no longer just our interim manager. You know, you talked about Conte, and I do agree that if we can go out and get a world-class coach like him, then we need to go and do it. If it's for a couple of years, that would be great. Gattuso can move to either being first team coach, which would be great because he can learn from Conte, or he can go back to being Primavera manager, and bring through even more young players the season after next or whatever. However, if we start, you know, if there's murmurs in the press still about us going after Conte now, that's only going to unsettle Gattuso while he's doing a good job. So I'd put it to one side for now, and then let the Conte situation take care of itself at Chelsea. And if he becomes available in the summer and we can go after him, Gattuso's got no problem working under him for a bit, then that's probably the perfect situation. But in all honesty, you know, bottom line is I'm just happy to see this squad actually fighting for the shirt. And you know, like I mentioned, you can see Gattuso's style, pressing, pass and move, possession football, creative playing down the middle, utilising the striker as almost like a false nine. There's so many different things tactically that I think Gattuso does better than Montella. And his substitutions, even though a couple have been questionable, I think overall he's living up to it, and I'm really enjoying it. And, you know, I mentioned about players that have been transformed under him so far. Çalhanoğlu, I believe you've bought his shirt, have you?
I sure have. A 100% authentic shirt from the AC Milan website.
Yes, boy.
Bought that at halftime.
Wasn't it on sale for about $15 or something?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, no, I really did, though. Right at halftime, it was the third kit. I was just blown away. I mean, I think we talked about it maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, that we were saying he's done poor, and then I mentioned, well, he's got all this personal stuff that's now been set aside, and I said, I think he's really going to start showing that form, and then slowly but surely he's been getting good, and then all of a sudden he got great. And, you know, that his goal against Fiorentina was just fantastic from, I think it was right before New Year's, around that time. Mm-hmm. But then each performance since then has been really high quality. And I even said today on Twitter that I don't think we needed De La Feu, who's now at Watford, or any other left wing. I think we have the right left wing in Çalhanoğlu. Mm. And not to mention that Bonaventura has played up there before. What they did well in this last game was switching, because Bonaventura was in the midfield, Çalhanoğlu up top. But because they've both played each position, they could rotate with the pace of the the game, and it just it confused Lazio. Yeah, it really did. Yeah. Confused the midfield, the defense, and it worked. We were getting around him all the time, throwing in crosses. And even if we had to, you know, switch sides and throw it to Suso, and then Suso threw in the cross, like, whatever we did was just working. I mean, he looked great. It really showed. I mean, our possession has gone up. I think this Lazio game was actually our worst possession in a while.
Yeah, it was 50-50, according to the thing I've got up here.
Mm-hmm. And we've been consistently like 60 or so, or a little less than that lately. So
I wonder what it was in the first half compared to the second half, though. I bet it was like 60-40 to us in the first half, and then 40-60 in the second.
That's probably astronomical. I mean, probably close to 70.
Yeah.
Because they never touched the ball, you know, barring a few oddball chances and the equalizer, but that was obviously a quick thing. I mean, we only had the lead for like 5 minutes there, but yeah, Çalhanoğlu, that's my guy. That's my number 10.
It's your new guy because Andrea Silva's not going to play, is he?
Well, you know what? Actually, let's go back to that real quick, because I haven't had my Silva rant yet this week, so I'll just get this out of the
25
way.
Minutes this week, so yeah, it's pretty good.
So, you had said something, and it just skipped my mind. Oh, what Gattuso has done well. I'm using a striker as a false nine. That is the role that Andre Silva was born for. I mean, his hold-up play, he likes to dribble the ball. He likes to get creative with it. He doesn't need to be up top. I mean, he obviously is, but he could even sit back. I mean, he would do so great there. The problem is, and we saw this on Sunday against Lazio, is he's short. He's not a tall guy. There was a perfect pass to him, the best opportunity across from Suso, and he did everything right. It looked like he just whiffed it, but on the replay it showed. I mean, that ball was centimeters from his boot. Mm. If he was like 2 inches taller, that's in the back of the net.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I mean, if he was Kalnick's height, the back of the net, the difference is Kalnick would have whiffed that shot because he's whiffed most of them. Even though he's in the right spot and gets the ball because he is tall and could reach it, he would have missed a shot. But Andre Silva did perfect in that. I wish he'd get more opportunities. I understand why he's not, especially when you got a kid like Patrick coming up. Like, there's no reason to not start one of the two of them. And at the moment, I think we've obviously chosen the correct one. It's nice having the Italian from the youth system. But I don't know. I think the longer we do this to Silva, I think the worse he's going to get, and it's only going to hurt us in the end.
Do you reckon that, I mean, I tweeted about it towards the end of the game. When Silva came on, do you think that he was sort of sulking a little bit?
I think so, and I think we saw that, you know, after a couple matches in the past year. He's kind of been bummed out. He was signed under the guise that he was going to lead us into glory, that he was our start striker. You know, he got the approval of Ronaldo to go to us, that he was going to destroy it here. And then all of a sudden, Kalinic showed up, and here's this giraffe taking your spot. And then that doesn't work out. So instead of getting your spot back, some little kid from the youth team comes up, and he's stealing all your thunder. The fans are loving him. They're screaming his name, buying his shirt. He's scoring the goals. I'd be sad too, honestly. He's a young guy. He had high expectations for himself. The fans had high expectations. His agent, players around him, everyone thought he was just going to be on a tear. And it's only natural that at, what, 20, 21, 22 years old that like he is, that's going to go to your head a bit. You're going to believe it. You're going to say, yeah, this is my time. And all of a sudden, it's not your time. So, yeah, he sulked a little bit. But at the same time, it's the parts where he wasn't running, he really wasn't in a position to do anything other than run around and waste energy. But also, that's exactly why we like Patrick so much, because he will run the full 90. Doesn't matter what side of the pitch it is, doesn't matter what. He just wants to play ball, and he wants to play ball for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great characteristic that Andre maybe is lacking. He's staying in position. Because remember, one of the criticisms of Andre Silva early on was, oh, well, his positioning's not as good as Kalinic. So now he's focusing on his position. What now? Oh, he's lazy.
Yeah.
The kid can't win. But the team can, so, yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a victim of circumstance for Andres Silva. We mentioned it on the last podcast. I think that this he's found himself at the bottom of the pile of the three. And I think that in the Lazio game, we saw why. I think that with the system that Gattuso plays, and with the pressing style that he deploys, he needs someone who's going to run after every single ball, chase it to the corner, you know, deploy a two-man press, go wide if needed. You know, the amount of times we saw Cutrone going towards sort of the left or right side of the 18-yard box to get involved in the play rather than always looking for the goal. I think that was indicative of what Gattuso's told him to do and what he expects of his centre-forward. And then you've got Kalinic, who will be started in games where perhaps you need a bit of physicality up front, and you need someone who's going to be a centre-forward. He's going to be, you know, a classic number nine who's going to be between the wingers. He's always going to be on the end of balls, a bit less of a false nine, you know, more of a straight-up target man. And then you've got Andres Silva, who, you know, we've seen him in Europe put on some dominant displays with his clinical finishing. I think he might be somewhere in between the two. And at the moment, there's no place for somebody who's in between the two. You know, you sort of need one or the other. And, you know, nobody's lost faith in Andres Silva yet, not at all. And to be honest, he's still got a role to play in the Europa League for us if we're going to get as far as we can in that competition. But yeah, I think he's just a bit of a victim of circumstance. And he will come on in one game and he will really impress. And he'll finally get his start. And that's when we'll really, in Serie A, I'm talking about Andres Silva, and he will impress, and then he'll get a start, and that's when we'll really see what he's all about, you know, if he's willing to up his work rate, or, you know, if he changes his game a little bit, then yeah, it's an interesting one, and, you know, thankfully it's not our problem to deal with. But yeah, I just feel like he's sort of sunk to the bottom of the pile a little bit, and I didn't expect that when we signed him. But I think that's testament as well to Cutrone, who nobody expected to be anywhere near the impact that he's had. He's into double figures now in all competitions, which is insane. And again, I'm just so happy for him because you can see what it means to him. Quickly, Bonucci improved recently.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I might have said it earlier on here. It might have been when we were just talking, but I think he's looked fantastic. He's back at world-class form. I thought Romagnoli looked better this weekend than him, which is impressive in itself. But yeah, the past few weeks, he has looked great. He looked exactly like the captain of Juventus. Well, I don't know if he was captain, but the guy from Juventus that we just stole from underneath them, exactly what we needed to command this back line. And kind of like Andres Silva, I think Musacchio is at fault for just being there, you know, a victim of the moment, like you said, because he was supposed to be our starter. And then Bonucci came in, and now we have the world's best center back on our team, and we're not going to start someone else over Romagnoli, who's going to be the world's best center back. You could retweet that later on, I think you will. But back to Bonucci. He's done everything right. His long balls are accurate as always. His defending's been on point. His tackling's been great. You've seen less tackling from him because he's been doing so well, which is always a good sign. You know, the least amount of tackles in a game from a defender typically means the best defending. So
he's been helped out by his midfield as well.
He has. Yeah. The whole team has improved in every aspect, and it started with that change that Gattuso made back to the 4-3-3.
Absolutely.
My opinion.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just been growing on that fitness, working on the fitness, working on the team's mentality, gelling together. I mean, they went out to a team dinner, and everyone was there for the first time in forever. Mm. You know, normally, when they go to a team dinner, it's like five or six guys that are probably sit on the bench together and hang out, and then, you know, the starters will get one. And there's just been a divide in the teams lately, and that's not there anymore. They all were hanging out together. They've all been doing stuff. It's a great sight to see.
Yeah, I think you can see the impact that, it goes back to, I suppose, recent results, obviously, but Gattuso's appointment. He seems to have brought the whole squad together. I think Bonaventura made some comments about how, you know, for the first time, everyone sort of feels like one family and stuff. And it's obviously like media spun stuff, but it's really good to read because you could tell there were problems before and now things are finally heading in the right direction. So looking ahead to midweek game, we've got Lazio in the Coppa Italia, touched on it earlier. Are you any more confident after Sunday than what you were from the last podcast?
So, to my knowledge, Immobile is still out.
Mm-hmm.
However, I believe that Felipe Anderson and Nani will probably start. I don't believe they're going to use that 3-5-1-1, whatever ridiculous formation they were using. I think they're going to use a real one this time. and I heard Kalinic is going to get the start. So I'm not any more confident than I was last time. I still think it's going to be a pretty poor on us here. But, I mean, the potential's there. Like we said, it's still at the San Siro. They don't beat us there, apparently. So it's possible that we take this to extra time and penalties or something. I'm not sure. But this is definitely the chance for Lazio to break that streak of losses here. That's for sure.
I think... for me, I would be happier if we had the second leg at home rather than, you know, we're obviously it's the I don't know how far the two legs are apart, actually. Let me have a look.
It's at the end of February. Second to last game of the month is the second one.
See, that's quite a while, isn't it? Yeah, so I'd feel more confident if we had the home game second. So if we went to Lazio and got a draw, for example, and then came back, I'd fancy us to finish the job at home. You know, we beat Inter at home, and we've proven that we can sort of compete with top teams at home. But I see a situation where, based on the way that they sort of got bossed in the first 45 minutes of the game on Sunday, I see a situation where Lazio come, try get a draw, and take it back home, and then win the second leg. And that's what I see happening still. I can see it being a 0-0 or a 1-1 on Wednesday night. And then they do the job at home. But I still think it's a pretty decent effort from us to even get to the semi-finals.
What am I talking about with penalties? Sorry, I totally...
No, I understand. Thinking about it. it still could go to extra time and penalties, to be fair, in the second leg. Obviously, when we got to the Coppa Italia final, when we lost to Juventus, we had a pretty fortuitous run to get there. I mean, the semi-final, we played a third division team. We played Alessandria that time. But this time, we've had to go through some tough teams. And, you know, to be the best, you've got to beat the best. It's as simple as that. So, you know, if we're to get to the final, play whoever we play, we've got to get through Lazio, and then we'll get to the final and have no doubt an even tougher game. So it'd be great for confidence if we can win that first leg, and then if we do win that first leg, with the organisation that we've shown recently, I'd back us to go there and finish the job if we can win the first leg. But, you know, a lot can change in a month, and that's what kind of worries me a little bit.
I think this first leg is crucial. This is the game we could win here. I mean, just look at it this way. We've got 4 wins out of our last 5 with no losses. We already got a win over them. They played last Wednesday, then they played us on Sunday, and then they got to go back to Rome and then come back a day later. Maybe they're staying here, not getting any training. I don't know.
It's only a couple of hours away.
So, I mean, they're going to be tired for this game. We're going to be at home. We're motivated. We're ready. And we could go all out with a strong lineup, because the next 2 games after that, Udinese and then Spal. But then it gets a little tough. We got Europa League, Ludogorets, and then Sampdoria, who's above us, Ludogorets again, and then Roma, and then
Inter.
Lazio again.
Yeah, Lazio and then Inter. Oh.
And then Inter right after. So, I mean, that's a freaking murderer's row of opponents right there, back to back. That's 4. Yeah, that's 3-4 teams above us. I mean, a lot too in the cup, sure. But back-to-back like that, it's ridiculous. So
yeah.
It's going to be tough. I think we need to go out and focus on this one, and then we could probably slump down and rest if we need to against Udinese or Spal coming up right after. But I think we need to go all out if we want to advance to the final.
Yeah, like you said, the first leg's absolutely crucial. I wouldn't back us if we don't win this first leg. I'm just looking actually at the ticket sales for the semi-final. It looks like it's going to be pretty much full, which is impressive, you know. It's going to be like, what? So it looks like the lower tier, there's still bits of availability, but I'm probably looking at least 60,000 fans at San Siro. So we've got to use that home advantage. And yeah, fingers crossed for a good result in that, because I'd... I haven't made a trip over yet this season, but if we got to the final, I'd definitely go to that again. I went to the final against Juve in Rome. When was that? 3 years ago now? 2 years ago, maybe? And that was a good time. So if we can get there again, who knows, we might actually win it this time. And that would be a route into Europe as well. So, but yeah, like you mentioned, I think we've got a lot of balancing to do. You know, our squad isn't the deepest. Like you said in your tweet about us being sorted for the left wing position, if we were to get an injury or whatever, you know, in any position, not just left wing, I kind of get the feeling we'd be screwed. So we got to manage these games. We've got to manage the important ones. You put out your best players, and then you Udinese and Spal, no disrespect to them, and we'll probably drop points against them now. But that's where you sort of rotate a little bit, and maybe your Locatellis and Barini's get a game. We can't burn the squad out, can we?
No, and I think you're right with the injury. I mean, with Conte, it was an injury, and Calabria luckily has, you know, come good, but you look at Ricardo Rodriguez getting that red card. We had to start Antonelli, who looked like a three-legged dog running around trying to chase his tail. I mean, he was lost out there, and I think he's half responsible for the Donnarumma goal, or the goal that got past Donnarumma. I mean, we did not have a backup left back whatsoever, so we had to move a right back to left back, and thank God he's a wonder kid and could perform. But without Ricardo Rodriguez, we looked bad on the left until Calabria took over. Luckily, we have a solid backup defender, so we're good with Musacchio. We're honestly not too solid a goalkeeper. If Gigio can't play a game for whatever reason,
put the proper Donnarumma in.
Yeah, Antonio's not going to have a game like that every time he plays. I mean, plain and simple. And Strarari, I mean, jeez, I'd rather him never play a game. But and then midfield, we got a couple backups, and then the wingers, it's Suso or bust. We have no one for the right wing, really.
No.
Borini. And that's not a good look for a backup, and he plays both wings. So, I don't know. I think you're right. I mean, if we have some injuries in some major areas, it'll cause problems. But speaking of Conte and injuries, when does he come back?
I think the latest estimated time is March.
I would like to see him stay sidelined in Calabria, just run out the rest of the season, depending on how he does. I just don't think there's a reason to rush back from the knee injury he had.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's no need to rush him back unless you need to rush him back. If we were to have another injury.
If we're competing for Champions League, then sure, throw him in there, you know. But
he must be worried about his place if Calabria keeps playing like that.
Yeah.
Honestly, you could then keep Conte as like a backup winger, honestly, because he could do that. He could play further up. I mean, he played as a wing back at Atalanta anyway. I think it's March now is his estimated return, because obviously he's got to do a few weeks of training probably once he's back, to get up to speed with everything again. You know, we've changed coaches since he got injured, so it's pretty big.
Who knows where his fitness
big adjustment
is.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, speaking of squad depth, let's have a look at the latest, because this is the last podcast we'll record before the transfer window shuts. So very quickly, while I look through some of the latest rumours, what position would you most like to see us reinforce, if any, before the end of the window?
Probably a backup left back.
Yes, solid shout. I don't know. I think Antonelli's going to stay now, isn't he? To be fair.
That's true. Well, Fiorentina definitely won't want him after that performance.
And we don't really want him either, but...
Which is so sad, because he was one of our best left backs when we got him.
Oh, yeah, I really rated him. I thought he was pretty solid. Like, he was probably looked better because Di Ciglio at left back was appalling. But, yeah. Interestingly, Zanoletto looks like he's going to be allowed to leave for Crotone. How do you feel about us selling a young midfielder like that?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm not big on hyping youth players at all until proven, like Donnarumma and a few of the others, but Zanoletto, I mean, has he even played first-team football for us? Maybe once?
Played a bit in preseason. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll count preseason.
Well,
I could care less if he leaves.
We've got our buyback clause, apparently, which is essentially insurance. If he gets good, he's out.
I don't think he's going to get good at a team like that. He'll get play time, but he doesn't have the mentorship, the people around him that could build him the way they need to. I mean, it's not a good team to develop players that. So,
no.
I don't think anything's going to come of it.
I've praised Crotone in the past. I think that when you consider their budget, etc., they're massively punching above their weight. They're outside the bottom three, so that's fair play to them. Goal scoring wise, they've scored the third least in the entire league. You know, they've got a really bad goal difference. So perhaps it isn't the best environment for him to develop, but perhaps also it is, because he's surrounded by average players. Maybe he's going to rise to the occasion and be like, yeah, I can do something here. Very much like I thought Locatelli would do if we let him go to Genoa, because they're only 2 points better off than Crotone. They're having a terrible season. Yeah, I agree. I don't mind it. I think there's players that are above him in the pecking order now, in all honesty. And the buyback clause gives us a bit of insurance. So if he really does start to realise his potential, because he is highly rated still, I think, then we can just take him back for whatever nominal fee it will be. we were linked today, you mentioned a backup left back, with, is it Kwadwo Asamoah, Juventus fullback?
I don't know, he looks like Anthony Johnson to me.
Yeah, basically you can read about that in our latest transfer recap. We've got a transfer recap currently on site, an exclusive with pundit Vito Angelis, so go and read some, catch up on some of the latest rumours. Would you take him? I mean, he's played quite a lot of games for Juve at a good level. He's obviously been displaced now by Alexandro, but you know, he's solid enough. Or would you?
Yeah, I think he's got the experience. He's good enough to do it. I think I don't have a problem with him coming through.
I mean,
it's a backup. So
I think what I've read though, he's out of contract in June. So I guess would it be a, are we looking to sign him in June? I don't know. It doesn't say, but there'd be no point signing him in June, I don't think. If anything, we need him between now and the end of the season. But I don't really see anything happening with that. I think Allegri actually rates him a bit. I remember reading that he's had a few starts. So I don't know. We'll see how that one plays out. On January 25th, which is, 4 days ago now, it says here, it's believed Massimiliano Mirabelli has found an agreement with Bordeaux to bring Aurelien Tchouaméni, God, I've probably butchered that, Tchouaméni to Milan in June. The interesting thing about this is he's been labelled the next Pogba. Obviously, we know absolutely nothing about him, but do you think that we talked about on the last podcast, didn't we, about us turning to sort of youth recruitment? Is this sort of another nod towards that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, like you said, I know nothing about him. Being the next Pogba, I mean, that could be good or bad. Who knows? So if we get him, then whatever.
If he gets us 100 million, then he could be whatever he wants. Yeah, I don't think, you know, it's been really quiet this month. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter complaining about us not being linked with anyone, about us not, you know, going after certain players, like people angry we didn't go after Rafinha and stuff like that. But honestly, what did people expect? We spent so much money in the summer. You know, we brought in essentially a new first 11, or, you know, a new squad, and people expecting us to go out and spend big money this month, and it was just never going to happen, was it? I don't think we need wholesale changes. I would have perhaps said something different in November, but you know, we're seeing Gattuso start to work with the squad that he's got, and it's starting to blend pretty well. So yeah, I guess that's really it. We don't want to talk about Gustavo Gomez again, do we?
No, he got an offer from another team. We accepted it, and he wants Bocas, so I'm done with him.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, he needs... I mean, if he's going, he needs to go. He needs to stop. Needs to stop, sort of. It might be us that's playing hardball, but it needs to be resolved. One more. Delafeu's gone to Watford. On a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed are you?
3?
Yeah.
Only because it's Watford. I feel like he could win to a better club than that.
Mm. He's gone from like being linked with Napoli, who were top of Serie A, to Watford, who were fighting relegation with Huddersfield in the Premier League. So that's kind of nuts. But yeah, I think he'll smash it there, to be fair. It'd be interesting to see what I mean, obviously you won't know a lot about Watford's team, but they've got Richarlison, who's the sort of Brazilian winger. He's been linked with Spurs, actually. So that might interest him.
Lucas is actually in London right now. I just saw pictures on Twitter as you're speaking. So
Lucas Moura.
Lucas.
That's good.
From PSG. Yeah, I think that's a great signing for them.
I would like to see Milan go after him, but, you know, he plays more right-sided, doesn't he? So,
well, it's not like we got anyone to back up Suso anyway, so...
He wouldn't come sit on the bench, though, I don't think.
Yeah, not in a World Cup year, no Brazilians doing that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the Mercato stuff. I think we can pretty much wrap it. We got 50 minutes out of this, which is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a good one for one game, and we just kind of rolled with it there. Yeah,
it's because we're not used to being positive. We've not had a lot to be positive about recently, so I'm just delighted that we can stop moaning and we can speak in a positive way about the team. So yeah, thank you everyone for listening. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher and at Kilpin Chronicle if you want to read some of my Milan-based rants, etc. AJ, where can we find you?
Yep, I am Anthony Torgrud. You can find me on Twitter at Torgrud45. I put all my rants there. I don't have to split it up between multiple accounts. So follow me there. See some nice hot takes, things like that. Nothing interesting. And then, of course, follow us on all our new media. Well, not even new, just our media. We got a YouTube channel, Sempre Milan.com. Our Instagram page, same. Sempre Milan is just our Facebook page as well. Give us a like there. We're really trying to build that. So far, so good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Sempre Milan app, where you can find this podcast as well as all of our other news and opinions for free on the App Store and as well as Google Play.
Absolutely nailed it there, mate. Thank you very much. And yeah, join us for the next podcast where we'll obviously recap the cup game against Lazio and the game at the weekend. So thank you very much for joining us, everyone. Goodbye.